Well, we're diving right into it in terms of economic data to start the year in 2022. We've got the December jobs report coming out on Friday. We've got minutes from the FOMC's last meeting coming out midweek as well. Matthew Luzzetti is joining us now. He's Deutsche Bank Securities Chief U.S. Economist. Matt, good morning and happy new year to you. It's always good to see you. Let's start with that jobs report, if we could. Your expectations for the report, I believe the consensus is at 400,000. You guys, I believe, are at 375. So basically, it looks like we're going to see continued strength here. What kind of other elements of the report are you going to be watching most closely?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me, and Happy New Year. As you noted, we expect 375,000 jobs to be added. I think a lot of the focus is going to be on the other elements of the report. What happens with the unemployment rate? What happens with labor force participation? And what are we seeing with wages? I think those are the most important things for thinking about the Federal Reserve over the course of this year. When will they raise rates? When will they begin to unwind the balance sheet? And on all those elements, the recent data has been really strong. The unemployment rate fell to 4.2% in November, only marginally above the Fed's view of NARU or the long run level. We've seen the initial jobless claims data over the past several weeks has continued to move to very low levels. And so I think what you're going to see is, at least before Omicron hit, was continued strength in the labor market, probably an unemployment rate that looks very low and a labor market that looks very tight on a number of metrics.
And then just thinking about the Fed and their rate hiking schedule and what we might see next year, I've been asking analysts over the last few weeks. Consensus seems to be two hikes, maybe three. We did get one outlier from Mizuho, said none, expects the economy to roll over in Q1 or Q2. Just wondering what your base case is for the Fed.
Sure. So we expect three rate hikes this year, beginning in June, September, and December. But after the December FOMC meeting, we noted that there's risk to that and risk that it's more hawkish, perhaps as early as March. I think the minutes this week will shed a lot of light on the Fed outlook for this year. The two things that we'll be looking at are, one, how long after taper ends will they begin to raise rates? Remember, tapering ends in March, and we think that the March meeting is live for rate hikes. And then two, when would the Fed begin to unwind their balance sheet or quantitative tightening, as they've called it in the past? I think from that, we didn't get much guidance from Chair Powell at the December FOMC press conference. But what he did say is this time could be different. And I think what we read from that is the balance sheet could start unwinding earlier than it did last time, perhaps as early as later this year.
And Matt, I'm curious what your inflation expectations are for the coming months. And, you know, it's difficult to sort of map it out, but what effect do you think the Fed tightening is going to have on those inflation numbers?
Sure. So inflation was, I think, the big surprise, the big story of 2021 from a macroeconomic perspective, and I think it'll continue to be so this year. We expect inflation, at least over the next several months, to remain high. We know we're going to get strong prints for things like used cars, new vehicles, a lot of these goods items that have seen really high inflation pressures over the past year. And we expect inflation to remain elevated throughout this year. We expect core PCE, this is what the Fed is looking at and targeting, to be 2.7% at the end of the year. So still 70 basis points above their target. And we see upside risks to that. So inflation will remain the key story this year. I think it's the key reason why the Fed will be raising rates multiple times, and why there's risk that the Fed is even more hawkish than our own expectations.
And Matt, I'll give you the floor here just in terms of what economic indicators do you really have your focus on in the early part of the year to kind of give the trajectory and give the indications that you're looking for that will kind of set us on that path for at least a few months or a couple quarters here?
Sure. I think from my perspective, a lot of it is all about the labor market data. If we take the inflation data as given that it's going to be strong and it's a reason for the Fed to be raising rates, I think the labor market data will dictate the pace of tightening that we will see. When will the Fed begin to unwind their balance sheet? But also, if we see labor supply come back into the labor force, that helps to dissipate some of the wage and price data, will that allow the Fed to be a little bit more dovish as we look further out into next year and beyond? From that perspective, I think Omicron, COVID has been the key force. It's been the key constraining factor from the labor force and the labor supply perspective. So very clearly, I think in the near term, the labor market's going to continue to look tight. People are going to be kept out of the labor force, unfortunately, due to COVID. But we are hopeful that as hopefully we put the pandemic behind us, as we put Omicron behind us, see some continued progress on that front later this year, we can begin to see people coming back into the labor force more significantly as we did in 2019. And that should help to kind of keep a lid on wage pressures and price pressures. That's probably not a story until later this year into 2023, but I think that'll be a big story if that ends up being what happens.
You know, Matt, it's interesting too, because we were just talking about how the path in many ways seems clear, right? In terms of the Fed, in terms of the other unknowns out there, if you will. But there's still a lot that could, it's still a delicate balance in terms of the Fed having to get it right, in terms of not, us not knowing exactly what inflation is going to show. When all is said and done, what are you guys projecting for GDP growth in 2022?
Sure. So we're expecting the economy to expand 3.6% this year. So it's well above trend. Should continue to see the labor market begin to continue to tighten. But there are no doubt risks to that. I think the number one risk is if inflation continues to run hotter than expected, if the Fed is forced to respond more aggressively, does that trigger recession risk or downturn risk? So I think that's the number one risk from our perspective. In the near term, we also have risk from a consumer perspective. We have the child tax credit expiring. That's a big hit to consumer income. And we've already seen consumer sentiment already take a big hit over the latter portion of last year. No doubt Omicron, I think, is going to be hitting services spending in the near term. We think that that's going to be a temporary story. And hopefully, if you look forward into February, March, April, services spending begins to come back and consumer spending begins to come back. But we should be cognizant, I think, that yes, we do have a strong consumer. Household balance sheets are strong. Debt to income is down. But it is one that is also weathering a number of shocks, price pressures, the pandemic, a hit to income due to the child tax credit. And so there is a lot of uncertainty, I think, about the economic trajectory from here. Our baseline is constructive, but there are no doubt some downside risks.
Yeah, it's an important reminder about the child tax credit and also a reminder not to get too complacent here as we start out the year. Matt Lazzetti, always good to catch up with you. Matt Lazzetti of Deutsche Bank there, chief U.S. economist.